Let's talk about social media for a minute, okay? Social media makes people look really ridiculous, doesn't it? Yeah, usually, especially. I've been known to make myself look quite foolish on social media. Let's talk about these posts. You ever see these posts that say, you know, it'll be a picture of like Jesus and the devil, and it'll say like, share if you love Jesus, ignore if you love the devil. How many people have seen something like that on social media? Okay, now, here's the thing. People, because it's true, because these posts from like pages called like, I love Jesus or something, these posts get like thousands of likes, thousands of shares. So what that tells me is people are actually falling for this stuff. So, if you're listening here or you're watching online, let me just save you a little bit of heartache, okay? If you don't share the post, it doesn't mean you love the devil. If you don't like the post, it doesn't mean you're going to hell, okay? Yes. Let's just get that out of the way. Now, social media is just something that's revealing an ancient problem, a problem we've always had. And the problem is this, that there are some of us who only worship God so that we can be seen and praised by other people. Instead of seeking the praise of God, we're seeking the praise of people kind. Now, when we give to the needy, when we pray, when we fast, when we do these things, we do it for the glory of God, not for the adulation of people. When Jesus walked the earth, he gave us a perfect example of what a life of worship looks like. It's completely God-centered. Everything he did was in accord with the will of God and for his glory. He never once did anything to impress men. He never once cared about their opinions. He only focused on one thing, God. What is God's opinion? What does God think? So much so that he went to the cross and he died in order to save us. That wasn't man's idea. That wasn't man's plan. It was God's. Jesus was not concerned with broadcasting his good works for everyone to see. As a matter of fact, if you read through the gospel accounts, you'll see he purposely tried to hide those works. He told people who he healed, hey, praise God for the healing, but zip your lip. Go home and tell nobody what God did for you. Why? Because it wasn't about impressing people. It was about honoring his Father in heaven. The good news is Jesus didn't seek the praise of men because if he had, he would have never went to the cross and we would all still be lost in our sin. And so for us, we can't be seeking the praise of men. Instead, we have to strive to worship God in secret. This is the real test. Like, this is the real test if you're worshiping God. Are you willing to serve him, sacrifice your life for him, and not get a single thing? Let's see what Jesus said. Let's break it down. I'm not talking about DX either. I don't know if anyone got that joke. Probably not. Okay, let's do this. Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. And one more verse. So that your giving may be in secret, and your Father, who sees in secret, will reward you. So here's Jesus. He starts this passage with a word, beware. Now, whenever you see a sign that says beware, what happens? Your senses become heightened. Our eyes become sharp. Our ears are ready to hear something. Our reflexes are on high alert. Why? Because beware signs exist so nobody gets hurt, right? Beware of dog. Why do you have to beware of the dog? Because he might bite you. So beware. We don't want no one getting hurt. the King of Kings in our passage this morning is putting up a beware sign over your life for you to heed, to see. We all have a choice. We can ignore the beware sign or we can heed the beware sign. So what is the danger ahead? The danger is this: practicing your righteousness before others to be seen by them. That's the ravenous dog in the yard. Beware of that dog. Beware of practicing your righteousness to be seen by them, or else you might get bit by it. And that's the key phrase here: in order to be seen. Okay, but wait, we have a contradiction here. Let's deal with it. Jesus commands us in another passage in the Sermon on the Mount to do good deeds in front of others so that they will see your good deeds and glorify God. But now he's telling us not to do good deeds in front of others because it's dangerous. So which one is it? Can you guess? Exactly. Where's your heart? What's the intention? It's actually both. Jesus is exposing religious hypocrisy. And the key to understanding this contradiction, seemingly contradiction, is the motive. Why are your good works being done before others? There's two reasons: to be praised by others or to glorify God. Those are the two reasons. It's a thin line, and we need to really check our hearts. In the passage this morning, Jesus is talking to those who desire the praise of man and could care less about God's glory in it all. So here we have a problem. When we give to others, what if someone praises you for it? Like, legitimately, what if you give to somebody and somebody sees it and they praise you for it? Then what? Here's the solution. Proverbs chapter 27:2. Let another praise you, and not your own mouth, a stranger, and not your own lips. I recently posted a photo on Facebook, going back to what I said earlier, how Facebook can make you look pretty silly. But I did. I posted a picture on Facebook. It was meant to be satire that exposed this trend of kids eating Tide Pods. And so I took a picture of myself with a Tide Pod with my mouth open, saying, you know, whatever stupid thing I put on there. And I had a woman comment on that photo, and it just ripped me. She ripped me. She's like, you're such a hypocrite. You're such a godless man. You know, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. And then she took a screenshot of the photo, and then she posted it on her account and tagged me in it and said, hey, everyone, this man is a fraud. Don't listen to him, and all sorts of slanderous stuff. So what did I do? The old me would have responded and defended myself. But I still kind of do that sometimes. But in this instance, I did the right thing. I did nothing. I just left it in God's hand and let her say what she wanted to say. I didn't really expect anything to happen, but shortly after, a bunch of people came to my defense, started saying whatever to her, like, hey, lady, relax, it's fine, it's just a joke. Alan's not being malicious here, or whatever they said. I had to say and do nothing. Nothing. I'm not telling you this story to pat myself on the back, because I failed many times. Maybe the image was inappropriate. Probably was inappropriate to post, but it's too late. But the point is this: I didn't do anything. The worship I give to God, the good works that I do, weren't for the praise of man, but for the glory of God. And so when slander came against me, other lips praised me and not my own mouth. And that's the way to do it. Never praise yourself. Never lift yourself high. Never compliment yourself. Let other people, the Bible says, let other people do it. So if they do it, fine. Good, let them do it. Just let it not be yourself. And when slander comes against you, other lips will praise you, and you can just sit back, relax, and let God sort it all out. When we seek the glory of God in our good works, we don't have to worry about slander when it comes against us. We don't have to get, you know, hyper and excited about it and try to defend ourselves. We just need to leave it in the hands of God, and he will take care of the rest. And so when we give to the needy, as Jesus says in our passage, let it be in secret. Don't boast and post it all over Facebook. Or don't take this little basket here and take a selfie with it, hashtag blessed. Don't do that kind of stuff. I know it says the word blessed on the thing. You don't have to hashtag it. People can read. Don't do that kind of stuff. do it in secret. Give for the glory of God alone. And if somehow your good deeds get out to the public and people start praising you for it, good, fine. Let others praise you and not your own lips. Trick your own hands. When your left hand does a good deed, your right hand should be like, hey, bro, why are you keeping secrets from me? What are you doing over there? That's how it should be. They should be not buddies, if you will. Don't be a hypocrite. Don't blow trumpets as you give. I mean, what a ridiculous scene that is. Could you imagine that? You're sitting here in church and the offering bucket comes and you pull out a trumpet. Well, sorry. You pull out a trumpet and you start blowing and making all this noise as you give. It's distasteful. Let it be in secret, just like Jesus. He only sought the glory of his Father. He never did a good work to win friends and influence people. He never did that. He did it because his Father commanded him to. And as a matter of fact, a lot of people hated him for it. Give and give generously, but let your motive be God's glory and never the opinions and affections of other people. It's much better to get rewards from God than rewards from men, because the reward from God is eternal life. And that doesn't compare with anything the world has to offer. So worship him in secret, not to be seen and rewarded, but so God will get the glory. When you pray, you are not to be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners so that they may be seen by men. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your inner room, close your door, and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you're praying, do not use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do, for they suppose they will be heard for their many words. So do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then in this way, our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Familiar passage. And there's a pattern here. When you worship God, whether you give, whether you pray, whether you fast, he says, don't be like who? The hypocrites. Do it in secret so God will see it and reward you. Jesus says that the hypocrites love to stand and pray in the synagogues. They love to stand on the street corner so everyone can see them and everyone can hear them. They love to receive praise and compliments from others about how eloquent their prayers are and how inspiring and bold they are and whatever they're doing on the street corner. But really, can I just say this? It's sad. It's sad. Why is it sad? It's sad because they've taken prayer, the most sweet and precious spiritual activity under heaven, and they've turned it into a drama. It's sad. They took prayer on Broadway, and they turned it into a disgusting show. It's also sad because they've received their reward. Okay, think about this. The rewards of prayer are many glorious things, but none is more glorious and wonderful than communicating with God. Like, seriously. Communicating with God, and he hears you. What's better than knowing that God is delighted to hear your voice? No one else on this planet is delighted to hear my voice. Only God is. And he's eager to help and comfort and guide and be with you. The reward for prayer is God himself. What a sweet, sweet thing that is. But yet, those who pray to be seen by men, to be complimented and praised by others, have their reward. As far as I'm concerned, that's sad. Trading the presence and experience of the Creator for an empty compliment by someone who probably won't even go to your funeral. Seems like a bad deal. A sad deal. So how ought we to pray? It's simple. He says, go into your room, shut the door, and pray. Just you and God, one-on-one, talk to him. Go to your secret place and pray. And Jesus says, your Father who sees you in secret will reward you. I was involved in a youth group many years ago, and it was a tradition that after the worship gathering, we all would go out to eat. Now, this was before we had jobs and spouses and bills and mortgages, so we had all the time in the world, right? The first thing we did when we sat down to eat with the leaders and the youth there, I remember, I saw something strange. When everyone sat down, they all immediately raised their pinky fingers like this. And the last one to do this had to pray over the food. It was a game that someone had made up. But sitting there as like a new believer, I thought, boy, this is a little bit counterproductive, isn't it? So what you're saying is basically, whoever loses this game now has the burden of communicating and thanking Almighty God for the food. Oh, what a horrible thing I have to do. So I better raise my pinkies real fast and make sure I don't poke out Pastor Danny's eye in the process. Shouldn't it be the opposite? Like the first ones to raise their pinkies get to pray? Shouldn't that be the game to win? I have to admit, I'm guilty of this as well. It's like whenever we gather to eat, saying a prayer of thanks suddenly becomes like a big chore. For some, it's like they got thrust onto a stage with no clothes on in front of 10,000 people. All of a sudden, we get really shy. And we don't want to pray. We don't want people to hear us. And I think it's because, really, we just don't want to embarrass ourselves. Which, fine, nobody wants to embarrass themselves. But Jesus says, don't worry about what you're going to say, just pray. He actually commands us to not heap up empty words, to deliberately try to not be eloquent and impressive. So don't think you have to say a bunch of words to be heard. The fact of the matter is, God already knows. He already knows what you're going to ask, what you're going to say before you say it. I mean, look at the Lord's Prayer. It's super simple. Honor God's name. Pray his kingdom come. Give us the food we need, Lord. Forgive us our sin as we forgive others. And don't lead us into temptation. Done. It's short. Although the prayer Jesus instructs us to pray is meaningful and deep, it's not overly eloquent. It's not overly wordy. It's simple, to the point, from the heart. So don't be like the hypocrites and use your prayer life as some sort of socialite skill you have. The danger is this. If you pray to be heard by others, or if you shy away from prayer in public because you're afraid of others, you're actually not worshiping God. You're worshiping others' opinions about yourself. When I pray, I want everyone to hear me. Oh, really? Then you're not praying to God. You're praying to them. You're worshiping people. Oh, but I don't want to say the blessing over the food. What if I say something wrong or I make a fool of myself or people laugh at me? Well, then you're worshiping what they think about you. You're not worshiping God. Don't complicate this thing. A heart that's overflowing with praise and prayer to God is something he will not reject. Even if you, like on one Thursday night, we had a young guy pray, and I felt bad almost because I put him on the spot and I didn't realize maybe he had never done this kind of thing. And he goes, "You know, God, I don't know if you like jokes, but I might say a joke now." And he just went on, and we're just like, what is going on? But you know what? After it, we all like clapped and we were happy because he prayed, and it wasn't eloquent and it didn't even make sense. But you know what? Praise God. Praise God for that. Doesn't have to be crazy, doesn't have to be eloquent, doesn't have to sound nice. Jesus would withdraw from his busy life to pray. He told no one, he just went to a quiet, secret place to pray. Why? Because he wanted to be with his Father. He didn't care about what others thought of him. Thousands of people would follow him. Lord, I need a healing. Lord, I need this. Lord, I need that. People were sick. People were dying. And he would stop and leave and go and pray. You know, I remember one time reading the Bible, the disciples came to him and said, "Lord, why did you leave? There's so many people here who need you." "I have to be with my Father." Simple as that. Go to him in secret. Go to him often. I try to make it a practice to when things get really busy, to just leave. Go somewhere for a couple minutes and just pray where no one knows. Because God sees that thing and he'll reward you. That's what Jesus says. Worship him in secret, not to be seen and rewarded by others. but by God. And finally, he talks about fasting. And when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Now, when I read this passage, I laugh to myself. I LOL in real life. I mean, think about this. Somebody purposely disfiguring their face, to look more miserable so that people will know they're fasting. It seems kind of funny. It seems kind of ridiculous. And then Jesus says, those people, they've received their reward, which makes this even more ridiculous. So let's get this straight. You're going to purposely not eat, okay, which is hard enough. You're going to, well, at least for me, you're going to purposely not eat, then go around looking miserable on purpose, and all you're going to get for your efforts is people knowing you're fasting. That's it. That's all you get. That's your reward? Are you kidding me? Go have a cheeseburger and stop. Stop the madness. If you fast, just so people will know you're fasting, you're missing the point. When you fast, you're purposely going without food and sometimes even water in order for what? To draw close to God. Fasting is like a physical manifestation of your faith. You're telling God, all I need is you. I will forego food for a time to draw close to you because I need you more than I even need food. You're telling God in a physical way, I need you more than I need food when you fast. Fasting, like prayer and giving, is a deep, intimate spiritual discipline. And yet, there's people who will fast, not for God, but so others will see them. What a waste of time. What a waste of energy. If you're going to fast so others see you, just stop. Don't fast. Don't even do it. Because your reward will be lame. It's not worth it. Go drink a milkshake. Go do something. Just don't fast. Because your reward will not be worth it. It's going to be garbage. Just get your heart right with God, then go fast. The first time I fasted, I remember going to extreme measures not to be found out. It was hard. It was uncomfortable. I remember my stomach began to grumble and tighten up. I went to the fridge and I poured a large glass of milk and I went back to my office and I just sat there and stared at it, thinking, if I drink this glass of milk, am I breaking my fast? Or is it kind of like water? Because I was still drinking water. But there's calories in it. And like I'm going through this mental battle in my head. And I can't even tell you, honestly, I don't know how long I stared at that milk. I didn't look at the clock. It could have been 2 minutes. It could have been 30 minutes. I just didn't know. So I missed the whole point. I realized I missed the whole point. I went to the kitchen and I poured out the milk and immediately went to prayer. Now I know, people are like, why didn't you just put it in the fridge and drink it later? I was malnourished. I couldn't think right. I just poured it out to get the temptation away. Okay? I just wasn't thinking. So I prayed. I drew close to God. I was worried that if I drank the milk, others would know and I would be ashamed that they knew I broke my fast. Now, how would they know? I don't know. I was just, like I said, not in the right state of mind. But God rebuked me and I learned this lesson. Jesus says, anoint your head, wash your face, put a smile on, and go about your day. Your Father in heaven will see that, and he will honor that. It doesn't glorify God if you're walking around miserable, grumbling all day. Oh, I feel horrible. Oh, man, this sucks. Why? What's wrong, Alan? Well, I'm fasting. Don't do that. Don't do that. That doesn't give glory to God. It just makes you look miserable. Ladies, when you fast, put on your best makeup. Do your hair real nice. Rejoice. Put a smile on. Fellas, when you fast, trim up your beard if you have one. Shave your face if you don't. Put on clean clothes. Rejoice. Be happy. Don't let nobody know what's going on. Now, I know for some of us, if we did that, people would be like, what's going on with you, man? And then whatever. But I'm just saying, when you fast, don't make yourself purposely look miserable. Go over and above so that people will not know. Don't parade your spiritual works around, because if you do, that's your reward. Your reward is the parade. is someone saying, well, way to go, buddy. That's it. That's your reward. It's done. Period. Over. And it's lame. The principle Jesus is teaching here is simply this: worship God for God. John Piper said something to the effect of, if you're able to go to heaven and all your family would be there and all the pleasures you want would be there and you would be healthy and all those things that people want were there, but Jesus wasn't there, would you still want to go? That's the question. Are you worshiping God for God, or are you worshiping God for what he can give you? Don't give so others will praise you. Give in such a way that you'll never receive praise. And if you do happen to receive praise for anything, fine. Let it be others who praise you and not yourself. Don't pray in public for the praise of man, or pray or not pray in public for fear of man. Both are wrong. Say all your prayers for God's glory and God's glory alone. Don't fast so others will think you're so spiritual, because that's another colossal waste of time. All you're going to do is feel hungry all day, and that's it. Fast for him. And I'll tell you, when you do, you will receive a reward. It's not always tangible, but God is faithful to show himself. Worship God in secret, not to be seen and rewarded by men, but by God. And that's the gospel way. Jesus died in obedience to his Father to save us from sin and death. He didn't give up his life to impress humans. He did it for the glory of God. Don't seek the praise of man. It's empty. It's meaningless. Do everything for his glory. And I'll just say this, it will not be comfortable. Jesus was led to the cross for the glory of God. And his reward was resurrection. His reward was eternal life. His reward was us. So walk in those footsteps. Get alone with him. Ask him to change your heart so that you will be renewed and God will reward you for it. Let your worship be in secret. And let that secret worship propel you into God's eternal reward. Amen? Amen? Let's pray this morning. Thank you, Lord, for your word and how it challenges us. I pray, Lord, that we would begin to worship you in secret if we're not already. It's impossible to know if it's in secret, but you know. God, move us to this secret place. Move us to a place where we have a deep relationship with you, one that even if they were to kill the body, we would still be in worship with you. As it says in the Word of God, that Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Let our relationship with you be like that. Let it be like Jesus, who always went to the Father in secret. As we pray and we give and we fast, Lord, may we receive your rewards and not the rewards of men. In Jesus' name, amen. Alrighty, thanks for coming, everyone. Feel free to stick around, have some food, have some drink, and enjoy your Sunday and your week.